And that is Salvation Unto Us Has Come. You are listening to Law and Gospel on this Rumination Tuesday, October the 23rd in the year of our Lord 2018. And with us in the studio is Pastor Mark Smith. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Tom. Another beautiful day. Looking forward to Reformation.
Yes. And you're celebrating it on Sunday.
Yes.
Yeah, this coming Sunday. Yeah, I'll be doing it Sunday, but then I'm preaching out of the circuit in Beardstown, Illinois. And that's on Wednesday, the actual day of the Reformation.
Good people out there, I'm sure.
No, they're all sinners.
Sinners, yes.
Yeah, they're
sinners.
In fact, they're so bad, they say that we deserve nothing but temporal and eternal punishment. That's what they tell me,
yeah.
You know. So
I would agree with that.
Oh, you know them.
No, I know myself. And I know you.
Yes, you know me. Salvation Unto Us Has Come. It's one of the longer hymns in our hymnal. It's 10 verses, but originally it was 14 verses in the German. And it's done by Paul Spiratus. Do you know when he wrote this? I did not.
Well, in the 15th century, right?
Well, yes, the time, but where?
Wittenberg?
Huh?
No, the tune comes from Wittenberg.
He was a priest in the Western Church, and he was in prison for espousing Luther's cause and openly, freely preaching Luther's biblical and evangelical doctrine. He got a hold of Luther's hymn, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, and used the same metric pattern to write his. And it did occur up here in 1524 in a hymnal of law and faith. And this little book, commonly known as the Altliederbuch, in the preparation of which he assisted Luther, it enjoys the distinction of being what many might call the first Lutheran hymnal.
How about that?
Then for a while, they weren't using it because it was really talking about what the catechism talked about. But they finally brought it back, and it's in, I think, all three of our hymnals.
Oh, yeah. This is a familiar Reformation hymn. I'll tell you, boy, if you memorize all the stanzas in this hymn, you've got justification down.
Yes. Yeah, the coffee hour was talking to someone about, he was talking about how we can hum and sing the sermon. And what he was talking about were the hymns.
Yeah, right.
This is a perfect example.
Yes.
While he was still in here, I walked in and I said, do you recognize that? He said, no. I said, I was humming President Harrison's sermon from yesterday. Salvation Unto Us Has Come. Boy, even the title shows a good law and gospel thing. It's not salvation unto us will come to us if we invite Christ into our hearts or any nonsense like that. So why don't you go with the first stanza?
Salvation unto us has come by God's free grace and favor. Good works cannot avert our doom. They help and save us never. Faith looks to Jesus Christ alone, who did for all the world atone. He is our one Redeemer.
You going to sing this for Reformation?
Oh, I'm sure.
All 10 verses?
No. that's the problem, and you hate to leave out any of these verses.
I know.
Maybe the distribution, during the distribution.
That would be the time to do it.
I think there's too many stanzas even for a distribution.
Well,
I don't know.
You can't do just the first four. Because you end, so deep is our corruption. Amen.
You do the first four before the sermon, and then maybe some after the sermon?
I don't know.
You can split it up that way.
Yeah. So, but it really is a great Reformation hymn. Because right away, good works cannot avert our doom. They help and save us never. Remember that thing I always like saying? To a waitress, I said, you want a tip? She says, oh, yeah. I said, well, here's your tip. There's nothing you say, think, or do here on earth that will make any difference as to whether you go to heaven or hell.
And I'm sure she's appreciative of that.
No, she looks at me, what religion are you? Then we explain, we're Lutheran. But that's what it says here. Good works cannot avert our doom. They help and save us never. This is the big thing that I think all people who are Christians should know and don't know. That is the message, that good works cannot save you ever. Instead, faith looks to Jesus Christ alone, who did for all the world atone. What doctrine is
that? The world, that he gave his only begotten son.
Yes, that's what we call universal justification,
right?
Or objective justification.
Objective, yes, he died for all, even the scoundrels of history, even those that will finally not believe in him. Even them he died for.
See, this is why, tell me if I'm right on this. The reason your sin will not send you to hell is because he forgave all your sin.
Right.
Even the unbeliever.
He's atoned for them all.
That's right.
Every last.
So what sends a person to hell is not sin.
Rejection of his.
It's unbelief.
The gift is offered.
Exactly. Now, I'm not sure we're going to get through all 10 verses. No. We probably couldn't even sing it in the time we got. But anyway, stanza 2.
What God did in his law demand, and none to him could render, caused wrath and woe on every hand, for man the vile offender. Our flesh has not those pure desires the spirit of the law requires, and lost is our condition.
You know, this is really good, because one of the things I'll be preaching on for the Reformation sermons, I'm going to start off, we really need to get rid of the growing number of nuns.
Yes, that is people that do not come to church at all, right?
Yes, I'll have to spell it.
About the sisterhood.
I did that. I was at a coffee machine getting my paying a bill and then telling them they had to come in and fix my machine. And I said, yeah, I'll be preaching about how we got to get rid of the nuns. And she looked at me and said, what do you mean? Are they all bad? I said, oh, yeah, they're all terrible. Yeah, probably none of them will go to heaven.
Oh, boy. Boy, I tell you, that'll start the Reformation all over again.
Well, then finally I explained what nuns was. And I have a sheet that was done for me by a deaconess, and I'm handing it out. And she wanted a copy. It's really good. Parents are asking for copies because their kids who aren't going to church anymore, it really explains that they've left their vertical relationship with God to have a horizontal self-justification relationship. And it simply isn't working. In fact, what?
It doesn't cut it.
No, no.
It works.
In fact, line 2 said, caused wrath and woe on every hand for man the vile offender. So if you put your love in something other than Christ, it's going to cause wrath and woe.
That's right.
All the time. I'll do 3. It was a false, misleading dream that God his law had given, now you got to finish that sentence, that sinners could themselves redeem and by their works gain heaven. The law is but a mirror bright to bring the inbred sin to light that lurks within our nature. This is a totally different understanding of law than every other religion has.
Second use of the law right there.
Yes.
The law is but a mirror for our sins.
What's the first use?
Curb.
Yes, the civil use,
right,
the
right.
Government's use.
Yes.
And that's to curb wickedness,
curb society.
And they use rewards and punishments. What's the third use?
A guide. Guide for Christian living.
Yes. Once a Christian becomes a Christian, he still doesn't automatically know God's will. And so he needs to ask the Bible. For example, I understand that the lottery's up to $1.6 billion.
$1.6 billion. Goodness sake.
Well, I just read an article.
What would you do with all? I'd go over to Dale Meyer. Here, take $1 million for the seminary.
Yeah.
$1 million to my congregation.
Yeah.
President
Harrison, could I talk with you?
Oh, boy. You'd be the most popular guy here at the International Center all of a sudden.
Well, that'd be a shame, because I already think I am. No, I read an article about how much you'd actually get. First of all, if you take cash, you'd only get $900
million. Right. Oh.
Then you lose all the taxes on it. You see, if you don't take cash and get it over years, you get all the billion, but the taxes are higher. So they think you'd only get around $600 to $700 million. So I'm not even going to spend the $3 because, boy, look how much you lose. Forget that nonsense.
You probably couldn't spend that much. I mean, we just can't comprehend it.
Obviously, you don't know me. I buy 14,000 convertibles that are Corvettes.
You can't drive a ball.
Give
away to your fellow pastors, right?
Oh, yes. Any of my friends.
Right, I'll take that.
And I'd buy a Volkswagen for you. Okay. That's really good. It's a false, misleading dream. Dreams come from human beings when they're trying to figure out theology. And their dream is that God gave the law so that we could redeem ourselves and by our works gain heaven. You know, how many times am I in Uber and have passengers in the back? We start talking about theology. And I say, do you think you'll go to heaven? And they'll say stuff like, well, I know people who are worse than me. They always fall into work righteousness.
They think they'll make it because there's a lot of worse than.
Yes, absolutely.
God will be taking his time harassing and punishing all those people that are worse than that. He'll overlook my sins, right?
Reminds me of Hell's Angel. I think I mentioned this before. Came into a church and he was kind of smelly and sitting in the pew. He didn't participate hardly, left early. And a woman who's a longtime member of the church came up to the pastor and said after, how come we let people like that in here? And the pastor looked at her and said, well, we let you in.
Ooh. There's one less LWML member.
No, I think the LWML would teach that.
Yeah, I hope.
Yeah. The fact is, boy, all of us fall short of the glory of God. And I would remind her, didn't you just confess you're a poor, miserable sinner deserving nothing but temporal and eternal punishment? Didn't you mean that?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not as bad as that Hell's Angel guy. Oh, yes, you are. 4.
From sin our flesh could not abstain. Sin held its sway unceasing. The task was useless and in vain. Our guilt was e'er increasing. None can remove sin's poison dart or purify our guileful heart. So deep is our corruption.
That's a great example of a nun, N-O-N-E. Somebody who's left, and that's why we have an increase in the number of suicides. Because you cannot get comfort on the horizontal level.
No.
And when you finally get to realize that, either turn one of two ways. You become a Pharisee and think more highly of your works than they are.
Or you turn to despair.
That's right. You turn to despair.
One or the other, which is what Judas did.
Yes. And see, I really believe that that's how you work with individuals who are nuns. You wait till they get to that point of despair. And then we've got a message that no horizontal religion can ever give, that God simply forgives.
If you could catch that person when they're receptive, when they're at the bottom of the pit, and there's just no way out, and the way you can offer them is Jesus Christ. But you don't know when that's going to happen. And
There was a guy who was on a road to Damascus, didn't realize it was going to happen.
Right. Yeah, that's right. He wasn't despairing. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees.
Oh, yeah. But then once he became blind.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. In fact, when he realized, Can you imagine how Paul must have felt when he realized he was he had been persecuting the Messiah?
Jesus.
Yeah.
That Jesus was the Messiah.
I know.
Who art thou? You know, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting.
Can you imagine how that hit him?
It hit him like the law should hit him.
He was, you know, he's very receptive. You know, after a couple days, you know,
Simeon. Baptized.
Simeon came and baptized him, and, you know.
Or was it Ananias? Was it Simeon? I can't remember
which
either.
Which one was it? Was it Ananias?
Anyway.
I think it was Ananias. I think you're right.
Yeah.
Ananias came to baptize him, and.
He was complaining to God.
He believed right away.
Yeah. All right, 5.
Yet as the law must be fulfilled, or we must die despairing, Christ came and has God answer stilled, our human nature sharing. He has for us the law obeyed, and thus the Father's vengeance stayed, which over us impended.
Boy, is that good. Don't tell me that hymns can't be sermons.
Right.
The law must be fulfilled. See, it's very clear that nobody goes to heaven unless they are totally righteous in the sight of God.
That's right.
Not in their own sight.
The law had to be fulfilled.
And that's why Christ came.
Exactly.
I mean, there's not really much to explain in these. It's so well written. And he for us the law obeyed. We taught that that's his active righteousness.
Active righteousness.
Active obedience.
You've got his incarnation, our human nature, sharing.
Yep, that's good. And he had to share it because only a human can die for a human. Now we get to that point you were making. I'll read 6. Since Christ has full atonement made and brought to us salvation, each Christian therefore may be glad and build on this foundation. Your grace alone, dear Lord, I plead. Your death is now my life indeed, for you have paid my ransom.
Your death is now my life indeed. You know, your death has given me life.
There's so much ironies here that Jesus at the cross was both the priest and the victim.
Himself the victim and himself the priest.
Yes.
As we sing in another hymn.
Yeah, and that's Revelation chapter 5 where he appears in heaven. At the ascension as a slain lamb. 7.
Let me not doubt, but truly see your word cannot be broken. Your call rings out, come unto me. No falsehood have you spoken. Baptized into your precious name, my faith cannot be put to shame, and I shall never perish. Boy, the comfort of the gospel there.
Yes.
And then it even gets the important passage in there that his word, his promises, his word cannot be broken.
That's right.
You know, the importance of the inerrancy of...
And that's critical that you made that distinction. When we're talking about the word, we're not talking about historical events or the law. We're talking about the gospel. Right. Promises cannot be broken. And Jesus says, come unto me, and then he brings us to him through baptism. It's kind of like the lost sheep. The lost sheep didn't go to Jesus. Jesus came to him. Mm-hmm. And my faith cannot be put to shame, and I shall never perish. Now, a lot of people will think, well, when you die, your body goes in the ground. But I just remember that text from Lazarus where he says to Mary, those who believe in me shall never
die.
Yes. And people don't understand that until they realize the body may go in the ground, but the spirit
lives on.
All right, 8.
The law reveals the guilt of sin and makes us conscience-stricken. But then the gospel enters in, the sinful soul to quicken. Come to the cross, trust Christ, and live. The law no peace can ever give, no comfort, and no blessing. The law doesn't give any comfort or blessing. Right?
Talk about a great verse for the distinction between law and gospel. The law is to reveal the guilt of sin and makes us conscience-stricken. And we have to figure out how to do that with the nuns, because that's the big problem that they have. But then the gospel enters in the sinful soul to quicken, and you gave that example with Paul. And you come to the cross and trust Christ and live. Trusting Christ means trusting his promises. 9, faith clings to Jesus' cross alone and rests in him unceasing. And by its fruits, true faith is known, with love and hope increasing. For faith alone can justify, works serve our neighbor, and supply the proof that faith is living. That's a beautiful understanding of where works come about. They never precede faith.
They follow it. They're propelled by it.
Yes. Motivated by it.
Right.
And that's the passage I go to there is the sheep and the goats. Because for God, he tells the sheep the works that were serving their neighbor, you know, visiting in prison, and supply the proof that faith is living.
That's right.
Does not supply the foundation for faith.
No.
But the results of faith. So this is really well written for somebody in prison.
He must have had plenty of time to write 14 stanzas in the original.
Right? Yes. Well, you got not much to do in prison.
That's right.
No.
Especially in those days.
I think we're going to hit stanza 10. Would you read it?
All blessing, honor, thanks, and praise to Father, Son, and Spirit, the God who saved us by his grace, all glory to his merit. O triune God in heaven above, you have revealed your saving love, your blessed name we hallow. And that is a doxological verse. Has a triangle in front of it. It means we stand for it.
And when you mean doxological,
it has all three persons of the Trinity.
Right, right. And blessing, honor, thanks, and praise. That's why I like Revelation 4 gives those attributes to the Father. And then in chapter 5, the same attributes to the Son. And they worship both of them.
That is in chapter 4. For the Father.
That's the Ancient of Days.
And chapter 5
on the throne.
Of Revelation.
Yeah.
The same praise to the Son.
The same, yes.
How about the Holy Spirit? Where does he come in?
He's in 5 also. Remember the seven spirits that's talked about that Jesus has with him.
Okay.
And the number 7 is always the key for the Holy Spirit.
Right.
But you have revealed your saving love. That's really important. It's not that he just loves, but his love saves. And he does it because this hymn really makes clear. I'll tell you, if you were doing trying to get somebody an animal instruction, this would be the hymn you'd use to say, yeah. This is Lutheran theology. This is how we understand it.
In fact, that's a pretty good summary.
It is a perfect summary.
You could probably teach a whole class on just a verse at a time.
That's right. That's right. So what's your Bible study going to be for Reformation this coming Sunday?
It continues to be on the topic of predestination.
Oh, wow.
Election. Yeah. Thomas Manteuffel's, he wrote the manual that we use.
Oh, that's good.
Yes.
Yes.
Very good.
Yeah, he was a member of my congregation.
Yeah, I realize that, yes.
Yes.
Good man.
Excellent.
And his wife, an excellent organist, too.
Yeah, she was an organist at our congregation.
Yes, that's right. That's
okay.
Where else?
Time of services?
Yes. Saturday at 5 p.m. and Sunday at 9 a.m. We'd love to have you at Prince of Peace Lutheran Church in Crestwood, just south of the Watson-New Sappington intersection.
All right. So thankful that you're listening to us. Tomorrow, the Bible study. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Law and Gospel, please make your check payable to Concordia Mission Society and mail it to Tom Baker, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. To give online, visit lawandgospel101.com or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962.
Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.